By the way, I like the jersey there, Aaron.
Thanks. It's from when the Hurricanes did throwback, so it's a Hurricanes player.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's the guy, Svechnikov, who was the first person born in the 21st century to score a point in any of the big four leagues. So, it felt appropriate.
Nice.
Also makes me feel really old.
It's time to drop the puck on the Sports Trivia Face-Off. That's right. You have downloaded Season 2, Episode 8 of the Sports Trivia Face-Off. My name is Brent. I will be one of your hosts today. Our other host is the best co-host in the world, Aaron. Aaron, how are you?
I'm better than I sound. Thanks for asking.
You do sound a little rough.
I do. It's been a long week.
That it most certainly has. We have two very good players in a much anticipated matchup today. We have Zach and Andy. Zach, would you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Sure. My name is Zach Nalick. I am from Glen Carbon, Illinois, which is just outside St. Louis, not too far from where you are, Brent. I love pretty much all sports. Hockey, college basketball, baseball are my main ones, and all things St. Louis.
Excellent. Very good. And our other guest is someone whose voice may sound very familiar to you. Our other guest is Andy. Andy, how are you?
I'm doing great, thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself for those who may not be familiar with you.
Okay, so I am Andy Saunders. I live in Guelph, Ontario, Canada. That is 1 hour west of Toronto. And basically, I am the host of the podcast called Complete the List. And I have a second podcast called Hashtag Jeopardy Live Panel that's been on a bit of a hiatus, but I have revived that recently because Jeopardy has come up with the All-Star Games, which is coming on or airing right now until March 5th. So just doing some other stuff with regards to that. And since I was last on the show, I've been quite busy. I had a brief time doing some question writing for the short-lived Confetti Canada. And so things have been pretty good in my neck of the woods.
Excellent. Sounds like they have been. Now, before we get started, let's go over the rules. Here are the rules for the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Each player will get a chance to answer 5 questions in a category they choose. If they answer correctly, they get 10 points. If not, their opponent can answer on the rebound for 5 points. Twice per game, a player may challenge his opponent to answer a question first for 10 points, but the opponent can answer correctly for 15 points. 2 intermission questions are worth up to 20 points, and we will explain the shootout once we get there. Now it's time to find out who's going to be our first player. Zach, I'm going to give you the honor of calling either heads or tails.
Let's go with heads.
Hey, Google, flip a coin.
Okay. You got tails.
Andy, you have won the toss, and you get the choice in the first period to play or defer. Zach, you will get whatever option Andy doesn't take in the second period, and whoever's trailing will go first in the third period. Andy, the choices you have to play or defer are Phillips 66, BP, or ExxonMobil.
I'm going to defer.
Zach, you have your choice between these categories.
Boy, it's always, I feel like the hardest part of this game is trying to figure out what categories mean.
Yep.
I'm going to take a stab at ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil, these are questions submitted by Sports Trivia Face-Off listener Gary Middleton. Thank you very much, Gary. These are 5 questions about relocated or mobile sports teams.
Excellent. That's what I was hoping for.
Number 1, most people are so familiar with the Los Angeles Lakers that they forget the team's origins lie in what other city?
That would be Minneapolis.
Minneapolis is correct for 10 points, and I should have prepped the spreadsheet so that I could actually give you points. Number 2, the Major League Baseball's athletics franchise has moved around quite a bit. They currently play in Oakland, but began their journey in Philadelphia. For 14 years between those two places, though, they played their home games in what city?
It's an interesting thing. You know, people forget that this city had a team before their current team came around in the 60s, but they did. The A's did play for a while in Kansas City.
That is correct for another 10 points. Number three, what U.S. City's NHL team moved far, far north after 8 seasons in existence before gaining a new expansion team 19 years later and then losing that team far, far north once again?
Okay. I have an idea. I just want to make sure the timeline matches up. 19 years later. Yeah, okay. I think this is going to be Atlanta.
Atlanta is correct. They lost the Flames to Calgary, then they got the Thrashers and lost the Thrashers to Winnipeg to become the second Winnipeg Jets, who are awfully good this year.
They are very good this year.
Number four. By the way, this is where I tell you, Zach, you're doing very well in this category with no jinx intended. Number four, the WNBA's Orlando Miracle were founded in 1999, but 4 years later saw a brighter future when they relocated to become what new team?
Okay. WNBA relocation is something that I'm not totally well-versed in.
We totally jinxed them.
But I think I caught a hint in the question of brighter future, and I'm going to go with the Connecticut Sun.
The Connecticut Sun is correct. Very well parsed for another 10 points. You're 4 for 4.
Nicely done.
All right.
Number five. Many sports fans may not even be aware that the New York Yankees didn't originate in the Big Apple. What city did they call home before moving to New York to become the Highlanders?
Yeah, this is another one of those things that a lot of people don't know. I just learned this very recently, that the franchise we know as the Yankees was actually the original Baltimore Orioles.
Baltimore is correct. You even stole my flavor text. Very well done. No bonus points for that. And you swept your category in the first period for 50 points. Very well done.
All right. Nice job.
I'm curious, Zach, did you learn that on my podcast when Tom Kelso missed it?
No, I'm actually a little bit behind on Complete the List. It's I've got a lot of backlog of trivia podcasts, but I'm sure I'll get there.
Sorry for the spoiler alert, then.
Andy, you have your choice and the chance to follow up that feat with either Phillips 66 or BP.
I'm going to take Phillips 66.
Phillips 66, this was also written by Gary Middleton. These are 5 questions about athletes that are 6'6" tall.
Ooh, that was not where I was hoping this question would go.
Number one, what 6'6" NBA star has the same middle name as Kurt Cobain and Courtney Love's daughter, Frances Bean Cobain, and spent his 20-year career with the same team?
Well, in terms of people who 20-year career, I'm going to say Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant is correct for 10 points. Very well done. Number two, what 6'6 former Major League Baseball star is generally regarded as one of the greatest ever all-around athletes in any sport, becoming a 7-time Gold Glove winner and 6-time Silver Slugger winner during his Major League career with 6 different teams, including the 1992 World Series winning Blue Jays?
Dave Winfield.
The smile that came across your face when I said 1992 World Series gave me a good idea that you pretty much had that one. Very well done. Number three, what active 6'6 30-year-old tennis star with a palindromic surname won the 2014 U.S. Open men's single title?
I believe that's Marin Cilic, C-I-L-I-C?
Marin Cilic is correct for another 10 points. We have yet to see a missed question in this game. Yeah, we've had one spelling and one stolen flavor text, so even in bonus points, you guys are tied. Number four, What 6 foot 6 inch NFL quarterback led his team to their only Super Bowl victory so far, despite only starting 3 regular season games for them that year?
Ooh. Trying to think. Tall quarterbacks, only starting 3 games, only Super Bowl title. My guess is Nick Foles of the Eagles.
Nick Foles is indeed correct for another 10 points.
A good guess.
Very well done. And number 5, what alliterative 6'6 Canadian goaltender in the NHL currently plays his home games at the XL Energy Center and before his current team had played with the Arizona Coyotes, Nashville Predators, and Edmonton Oilers?
Is that Devin Dubnyk?
That is Devin Dubnyk. I don't think that's ever happened before, Aaron, where both players have swept a period.
This is wild.
You're right. That is the Oil. That's where Devin Dubnyk is playing, and hopefully that's the team that loses this afternoon.
Rangers just tied it up with the Penguins.
That takes us to the first intermission question. I'm going to give you a Major League Baseball team, and I need you to give me their starting pitcher for opening day of 2018.
Ooh.
This is an interesting one. Your 4 teams are the Washington Nationals, the Houston Astros, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the New York Yankees. And while those guys think about that, here's something for you folks to listen to at home again. If you enjoy the Sports Trivia Face-Off, please consider contributing on Patreon at patreon.com/sportstriviafaceoff. And if you're already a contributor, thanks. We are back with the answers to the intermission question where we named an MLB team, and they are going to attempt to name their starter for opening day of 2018. Andy, we'll start with you, the Washington Nationals.
I am going with the pitcher with 2 different eye colors, Max Scherzer.
And Zach?
I also have Max Scherzer.
Max Scherzer is correct for 5 points. Good tidbit of info from Andy on that one. Didn't know that.
Sorry, that was the first question that I had on one of my Trivial Warfare episodes. I think it was, they mentioned heterochromia. And then gave Max Scherzer as a clue. And I knew that he had 2 different eye colors because the Tigers fans would always say, would good IMAX or bad IMAX show up to pitch?
That's funny. Number 2 to Zach, the Houston Astros.
Man, the Astros have so many good starting pitchers, but I landed on Justin Verlander.
And Andy?
I also landed on Max Scherzer's former Tigers teammate, Justin Verlander.
Justin Verlander is correct. 5 points to the both of you. Surprise, surprise, you're both getting them all right.
Justin Verlander's from right up the road here, too, which is kind of cool. Every now and then we see him and Kate Upton around town.
Cool. I wouldn't be as excited about that. Never mind. Philadelphia Phillies, Andy, number 3.
This is the one I'm not 100% sure of, but my guess here is Aaron Nola.
And Zach?
Yeah, I was also unsure about this one. I'm having a hard time thinking of any other Phillies starting pitcher, so I also landed on Aaron Nola.
Aaron Nola is the correct answer for 5 points apiece. And number 4, the New York Yankees, Zach.
I seem to remember that they did some kind of interesting, like, swap with this pitcher at the start of last season, where he may have been designated their ace, but maybe not started opening day. Regardless, I said Luis Severino.
And Andy?
Sorry, before we go on, I didn't hear what Zach's answer was. Sorry.
Luis Severino.
Okay. Well, I remember this game well because it was against my Blue Jays. And on the Jays side, it was Jay Happ. On the Yankees side, it was Luis Severino.
And it should come as no surprise to anyone. They both got them all correct for 20 points apiece. If nothing else, we've got a good game. Haven't had any rebounds yet. It is 70-70 going into the second period as I turn it over to the dulcet tones of Aaron Barkley.
Hi. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was looking at the schedule for tomorrow and the courts are closed, so I'm just going to be answering phones all day. I'm like, this is going to be terrible. And you can choose from the following categories. Guess I'll just sit here and twiddle my thumbs. Time to face the music or kick out the jams. Your choice, sir.
I will say it's time to face the music.
All right. These are five questions about sports and music. We are back to the Ryan Clefcorn Myers questions, by the way.
Yeah, I can tell from the category names.
Number one. Pump Up the Volume by M-A-R-R-S. I guess that's how you pronounce that. I have no idea. Hip Hip Hooray by Naughty by Nature and Whoop There It Is by Tag Team can all be found on what seminal 1995 compilation album?
Is that called Jock Jams?
It is called Jock Jams. My friends got married a couple years ago and they told the DJ, they were like, you can play whatever you want as long as it's nothing you would hear in an elevator and nothing that was on Jock Jams. Those were her only requirements. Number two. In 2010, who became the only musician to be honored at a Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony?
John Fogerty.
John Fogerty is correct. Centerfield was a hit song by the album of the same name. Number three. In Meatloaf's Paradise by the Dashboard Light, what legendary shortstop and broadcaster narrates a baseball play-by-play that is an allegory for a young man trying to get lucky in his car?
When after the song came out, this announcer was like, I'm Catholic. I had no idea my call was going to be used this way. And it was Phil Rizzuto.
Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, that's also correct. Cool. Number four, who composed Round Ball Rock, the iconic theme for NBA on NBC?
The lovely man who has a syndicated radio show, I believe that is John Tesh.
I believe that is correct. All right, let's take it home. Number five, Airtime, E-R-R-T-I-M-E, Whip Yo Ass, Dat's on My Mama, and Fly Away were all songs recorded by the rapper Nelly for what sports film in which he also starred?
Is that orange cat I hear in the background?
That was Jimmy, but yeah. Yep. This is a great microphone.
Movies starring Nelly, my guess is going to be The Longest Yard.
And you are 5-4-5. Nice job, Andy.
If these guys keep this up in the shootout where they get every answer absolutely correct, I'm really going to be impressed.
Yeah. All right, Zach, let's keep this train going. Your categories are, guess I'll just sit here and twiddle my thumbs, or kick out the jams.
Whew, I have no idea. Between those two, I'm going to take the first one, twiddle my thumbs.
All right. These are five questions about canceled sporting events.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Number one. In 2012, then-Mayor Michael Bloomberg controversially canceled the New York Marathon due to the lingering effects of what hurricane that had flooded many parts of the city?
2012, I think that's the same year as Hurricane Sandy.
That is correct. Number two. Montreal Canadiens player Joe Hall died in 1919 as a result of what? This led to the final being called off that year.
I don't know this. I'm not going to be able to challenge, I don't think. So I'm going to just have to take a guess. Joe? Yeah, that name doesn't ring any bells to me. I will say that he had a stroke.
That is incorrect. Andy, what's the answer?
So 1919, that was the year of the big influenza epidemic that went across North America as the soldiers were returning from Europe from the War of the Spanish Influenza. And Joe Hall caught that in the middle of the Stanley Cup Finals, leading to the finals being canceled, the answer, I believe, is the Spanish flu or the influenza epidemic.
That is correct. But I think you knew that. All right, Zach, back to you. Number three.
Oh, I got a question wrong. I think the game's over.
Number three. The words season not played appear on the Stanley Cup next to what two consecutive years?
It would be 2004, 2005.
Yep, that was a dark time.
Yeah, yesterday, I believe, was the anniversary of the season actually being called off. Now, there was still some hope into February that they might get some games in like they did in 2013. But they finally called it off this time, 2005.
Is so there annoying. A coincidence that we're talking about the season being canceled at the same time that a close-up of Pierre Maguire was on my TV?
You have Pierre Maguire.
Just two really bad things confluent into one.
It's the signal of the end times.
The 1908 Summer Olympics were moved from Rome to London because of the aftermath of what natural disaster that killed over 100 people?
Do I need to be specific?
I don't know, Brent. What do you think?
I would say yes.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. I know what kind of natural disaster it was. I'm not sure on the specifics. Okay. I think this is a, Okay, I'll say the eruption of Mount Vesuvius.
Yep, that is correct.
All right.
Nice job. And number five, at 74-40, what Major League Baseball team had the highest record before the players' strike prematurely ended the season?
Okay. I know they're at least leading their division. This is a year that is held in infamy in this city, as far as baseball fans are concerned. I think it's the Expos.
The Expos are correct.
All right.
I know Andy was waiting for you to miss that.
Yeah, I was waiting for that.
I was waiting and watching to see how you reacted. You did a good job stone facing it.
All right, going into the second intermission, Zach has 110 points, Andy has 125. This is a nail biter, folks. Your second intermission category is the Olympics. China has won 53 medals in table tennis at the Olympics. Name the next four countries who have won the most Olympic medals in table tennis. And while these gentlemen are thinking about tiny white balls, here's something for you to listen to.
If you have a question or category suggestion, or you'd like to appear on the Sports Trivia Faceoff, always feel free to send an email to brent@sportstriviafaceoff.com or join the Sports Trivia Faceoff group on Facebook.
Zach, go ahead and give me your list, please.
this is not something that I have committed to memory, that's for sure. But I have a set of four guesses. I have South Korea, the U.S., USSR, or Russia. I'm not sure if they're combined, but I'll say USSR. And my last one is Japan.
Okay. And Andy, what's that list say?
So, this is something by a stroke of luck that I have actually looked at recently for professional reasons. And it's interesting. I asked you whether it was just gold medals or total medals because, and I'll get into that in a second, but my list is South Korea, Japan, North Korea, and Germany. Those are the four with the most total medals. I wish you'd asked about gold medals, though, because back in the 90s, there was a Swedish table tennis player who won gold medal, who won a gold medal. And I was hoping to be able to be like, yeah, Sweden's a gold medal winning country in table tennis. But unfortunately, I don't think they have enough total medals to make the list. So my list is South Korea, Japan, North Korea, and Germany.
All right. Yeah. Well, like Andy just said, but I have numbers to go along with the countries. South Korea. So China has 53. South Korea has 18, Germany has 7, and Japan and North Korea are tied with 4 each. So the real moral of the story is that China is dominant at table tennis. My cats are racing. All right. Going into, I don't know if you can hear that. Going into the third period, Andy has 145, Zach has 120. He fell back a little bit, but there's still plenty of time to catch up. Brent, back to you.
Will cat racing be one of the sports we're going to have questions on in a later episode of Sports Trivia Face-Off?
It sure can be. It's kind of a it's a two-parter because they have to chase and then they wrestle on my bed, usually when I'm in it. So this is actually better than normal.
Zach, we are to you. You have your choice of these three categories. I'm definitely a little curious. I'm definitely super curious. Or Ich bin der Sport.
Okay. I'm going to forego the German category, I think. I'll go with the first one, a little curious.
These are brought to us by listener Chris Parsons. Thank you very much, Chris. Ooh. These are five questions about the biathlon.
Oh, okay. I get it.
I'll let that joke simmer for a second. I'll let it sink in. Number one, Martin Fourcade is a seven-time World Cup champion in biathlon, having won more than anyone else. From what country does Fourcade hail?
Okay, that name actually sounds familiar. I must have seen him last year in Pyeongchang because I did watch a little bit of the biathlon. I believe he's French. And just going by the name, that fits.
France is correct. Surprise, surprise, for 10 points. He once posted a picture on his Instagram of his resting heart rate, which was 25 beats per minute.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
Number two, biathlon wouldn't be biathlon without rifle shooting. What caliber ammo does a standard biathlon rifle use?
Ooh. I think this might be one of the only opportunities I get in this game to challenge. I'm going to give it a go.
Andy, you have been challenged.
Hmm. Ooh, boy. I also have watched quite a bit of biathlon over the years. I believe it's 22 caliber rifles they use in biathlon?
That is correct. Andy picks up 15 points.
That's what I was
going to guess. For fending off a challenge.
If I had to guess, I would have said 22. Oof.
An average biathlon rifle costs over $3,000, which actually doesn't seem like that much.
Mm-mm. The bows they use for archery are way more than that, I think. I feel like I remember hearing the number and being flabbergasted.
Number three, what biathlon event, also used in cycling and trivia, is named exactly as it sounds, with the biathlete's start separated by a time difference from a previous race, with the first skier to cross the finish line winning?
I watched this last year. I know exactly the event you're talking about. I just don't remember what it's called. And then your hint at the beginning is, I think, throwing me off more than it's helping. also used in trivia. I'm not sure. I think I'm going to probably have to guess, and I'm going to guess. All of a sudden, it didn't sound so good. Uh, I don't know. I'm going to have to guess time trial.
Time trial is incorrect. Andy?
So I didn't get what it meant in terms of trivia until the second time you read the question. And then I'm like, what does trivia have to do with pursuit? And then I realized, trivia. And so the answer here is pursuit.
Pursuit is correct for a 5-point rebound. Good old Ryan and his clues. God love him. Number 4. During a race, skiers shoot from 2 positions at 2 different target sizes, but always from the same distance. From how many meters away do they shoot their targets?
Oh, okay. Well, at least with this one, I know it's a round number. I'm going to say 100 meters.
100 meters is incorrect, Andy.
I believe that they shoot at 50 meters away.
50 meters is correct for another 5-point rebound. The prone position target is 45 millimeters, which is roughly the size of a golf ball. And the standing position is shot at a 115 millimeter target.
So about the size of 2 golf balls.
Yeah. Number 5. Known as the king of biathlon up to the 2018 Winter Olympics, what Norwegian man has won more medals than any other Winter Olympian?
Oh. All right, I'm going to need a minute or so to just run some names through my head. Okay, I'm not coming anywhere close, so I think I'm going to challenge this question as well.
Andy, you have been challenged.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
Ugh.
Not to be confused with the Norwegian cross-country skier Bjørn Dahle. That's how I keep the two names apart in my head. But the biathlete who has won all sorts of medals, I believe his last name is Bjørndalen.
That is correct. Ole Einar Bjørndalen. 8 gold, 4 silver. I'm going to try that again. 8 gold, 4 silver, and 1 bronze medal. The answer is Ole Einar Bjørndalen. Very well done. Andy, we are to you. You have to choose between I'm definitely super curious or Ich bin der Sport.
I'm going to go with Ich bin der Sport.
Good. We've had that one around for a little while. These are 5 questions about sports and the German language. Number 1, born in West Germany in 1963, what German-American basketball player won the NBA Sixth Man of the Year award in consecutive seasons, 1991 and 1992?
Okay, so we're looking at the early 90s Bulls, I'm guessing. You know what? I'm going to challenge.
Zach, you have been challenged.
Okay. I didn't think this guy was German, but he certainly could be. He's European in some flavor. I'm going to go with Toni Kukoč.
Toni Kukoč is incorrect. We have our first double missed question. The answer is Detlef Schrempf.
All right. Yeah, that was the other name I was kicking around.
Clearly, I was wrong. Definitely not part of the Bulls. Being that I challenged, I'm going to say sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
Number 2, located in Western Austria. What city was host of the Winter Olympics in 1964 and 1976?
This would be Innsbruck.
Innsbruck is correct for another 10 points. Number 3. 2009 was the last time the Bundesliga was won by a squad that wasn't what 2 teams?
Okay. What 2 teams? I need 2 answers. Okay. I mean, there's one that comes to mind right away. I'm just trying to see if I can come up with the second one before I see if I decide whether or not I'm going to challenge Zach or not. Oy. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think I've got the other one. Let's go with Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund.
Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund is correct for another 10 points. Borussia Dortmund is one of those teams that looks good in yellow. Number four. And by the way, VfL Wolfsburg won the title in 2009.
I would have said them if the rebound had come to me, but wasn't sure.
Yeah. Number four. Who is the most recent German to have won a Grand Slam singles title in tennis?
Ooh. I feel like this is a Chris Swindon question, but Oi. The most recent German. This is going back quite a ways. You didn't give a gender. I'm challenging.
Zach, you have been challenged.
Okay. Let's see. Trying to remember if there are any German women from more recently. Not coming up with any names. You know, several Belgians. German adjacent, but obviously different. I'm going to take a guess that this goes all the way back to Steffi Graf.
Steffi Graf is incorrect. Andy keeps his 10 points. The answer is Angelique Kerber.
Oh, okay.
She won Wimbledon in 2018. Number five, who parlayed her success decades before to become a judge on the seventh season of the British reality competition series Dancing on Ice in 2012?
I am going to say Katarina Witt.
Katarina Witt is correct for another 10 points and another sweep of the period for Andy. Right now, our scores have widened a little bit. It is now 130 for Zach and 225 for Andy. That takes us to the shootout. And before we hear from Aaron, let's find out how the shootout works. In the shootout, both players take a shot at being the closest to the correct answer of three questions. If either player is closer on more questions than the other, they get 20 points. If a player is closer on all three questions, they get 50 points. If a player is within 10% of the correct answer on all three questions, they are awarded an extra 100-point hat trick bonus.
All right, gentlemen. Your shootout questions are, number one, the number of feet a standard fencing piece is, P-I-S-T-E. Number two, the number of medals Australia has won all time at the Olympics. And number three, the number of yards Julian Edelman had in the most recent Super Bowl. And while they are doing math, here's something for you to listen to.
Planning your own trivia event? Visit the Trivia Night Guy at TriviaNightGuy.com to purchase trivia questions in all categories for an event that will give your audience a challenging and fun night of trivia.
All right, number one, gentlemen, how long is a standard fencing piece in feet? Zach?
I had a vision of it in my head. I'm now thinking that that might have been way too long, but I said 150 feet.
All right. And Andy?
Well, I knew it as 14 meters, and I then multiplied that out by 3.28 to get 45.92, which I rounded up to 46 feet.
And 46 is correct. Andy gets it on the nose. Number two, the number of medals Australia has won all time at the Olympics. Zach?
Really not sure. Tried to do some quick math on this one and And the number I settled on was 525.
All right. And Andy?
I mean, I felt like I had a general idea. I kind of ballparked it out to about 500.
All right. The correct answer is 512. So Andy was off by 12. Zach was off by 13.
Did we really just, you know, kind of end up on...
You have got to be kidding me.
So, yeah. Number three. The number of receiving yards Julian Edelman had in the most recent Super Bowl. Zach.
I didn't watch the Super Bowl for personal reasons. All I really know is that he was the Super Bowl MVP. And with just that in mind, I said 131.
All right. And Andy.
I also didn't really watch the Super Bowl, also for personal reasons. And again, with that in mind, I figured he had to have a pretty good game. And I said 135.
He had 141 yards. So Zach was off by exactly 10. Andy was off by 6. So Andy wins the shootout. He got 50 points for the sweep because he won all three. He also got the 100-point hat trick bonus for being within 10% on all three, which gives a bit of a boost to his score. Final score, Zach has 130, which is admirable, sir. But Andy came away with 375 points. Nice job.
Zach, I have to say this game was a lot closer than this score indicated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If I had not run into the biathlon category, then who knows what would have happened. Looking at my score sheet, I think Andy just pitched a perfect game. I don't see a question that he got wrong.
I think you are correct.
So beat that.
He picked up a couple of rebound points. Yep.
Yeah. And got both my challenges right.
You tried, though, man.
Yeah, so that would probably be above perfect.
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
That was an impressive performance, Andy. That was I'm left a little speechless. That was amazing.
Well, the categories kind of hit me. I mean, when I was like 8 and 9 years old, that was when Canadian biathlete Miriam Bedard was winning her gold medals. And so that's kind of when I learned a lot about biathlon and have continued to at least follow it ever since, just because that was kind of a big thing in Canada when she was winning her medals.
I cool. see. Mm. Zach, that was also, don't let this overshadow. That was an amazing performance by you as did. Well, except for one unlucky category pick. Well. That was a hell of a performance.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. So nice to run into a round on relocations, which is one of the things that I'm best at.
Yeah. So, guys, we will close this out. Is there anything you'd like to say in closing, Zach?
No, not really. Thank you guys for doing this and making time for us and just putting this out into the world. It's a fun time, and I always enjoy doing it.
Thank you very much. It's our pleasure. And Andy, anything you'd like to say?
Not really. Just thanks for having me, and I'm glad I was able to step in on such short notice.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for doing
yes,
that.
Yes, thank you very much for coming in from the bullpen. We really appreciate it. And Aaron, I want to send you a special thank you for gutting it out with your voice the way it is. You were a trooper today. You're awesome.
Yeah, thanks. I feel fine. I just sound terrible. Everyone's like, I'll talk to people. They're like backing away from me. But no, I'm healthy. I talk so much. I talk for a living. I talk so damn much. I just didn't recover well. So, but yeah, this was fun.
All righty. We will see you next time you download. This has been the Sports Trivia Face-Off. Thank you very much for listening. The Sports Trivia Face-Off is hosted by Brent Bollmeyer and Aaron Barkley. Questions are written by Ryan Clefcorn Myers, and the Sports Trivia Face-Off is recorded, edited, and produced by Brent Bollmeyer.
These gentlemen are thinking about tiny white balls. Here's something for you to listen to. Did that make sense? The question, yes. Not the balls thing.